of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down.
You're standing, going to give you the opportunity to go to one another, greet them, shake their hand, tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord. There'll be an usher at the back with an offering plate, and you can worship with your wallet as you go by, and as we sing.
Water to my soul.
I've tasted and I've seen what the world should have to be. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day. Thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Brother Jay, if you could do me a favor before you put up the lesson, could you put the announcements up on the screen? There's quite a bit that's going on here in the month of March and on into April, and so we want to make you aware of everything that is happening, everything that's going on. This coming Thursday and Friday, there is the Passing the Mantle conference that is happening at Bartlett UPC, and so you can make yourself available to that conference. You do have to register to attend the conference, which you can do so via their website, or I believe you can do so at the church itself. If you have opportunity to go and be a part of that conference, I assure you, you will be blessed tomorrow and Friday. And then Friday, hyphen age, there is a event for you guys, those 18 and above, single. Still got tickets? You still got 10 tickets, all right? All right, well, if you're interested in going, what this is a, so do you want to open it up to others then? You got 10 tickets? All right, so you have 8 or 9 going. Okay, so you might have all the tickets. You don't know. Okay. Well, if you're interested in going or you think you want to go, see Brother Matt Woods, and he can tell you whether or not he has any tickets left, because I don't know. Neither does he at this point in time. Want to let you know the regular scheduled services this coming Sunday, Sunday morning, and then Financial Peace University happening on Sunday night. And then next week is going to be a little different week. When we had a department head meeting, we wanted to schedule in a work week, and we got so much going on, so busy. We're going to try to do the whole week, but that's not going to work. And so what we're going to do next week, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, and then Saturday morning up until about noon, it's going to be a work week. So we're not going to have adult Bible study here next Wednesday night, but we do, yes. I thought that was this Saturday morning. No. Next, a week from tonight, we'll begin the work week. And so starting at 5 o'clock, going to about 9 o'clock each night, there's a lot of stuff we need to do, a lot of stuff that needs to be cleaned, repaired, fixed, thrown out. And so there's just a lot of stuff going on, and we need to do a spring cleaning, a purge, if you will. And then we need to do some painting, some maintenance, some touch-up, some cleaning. And so we will have a list to do, and so there'll be plenty to do, any and all that can come and help us. We certainly would appreciate that. And there will be dinner provided each of those nights, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then Saturday morning, there will be a breakfast. And then we'll conclude about noon on Saturday. Won't take your whole day on Saturday. So all told, I mean, if you're talking about maybe 4 days, 4 hours of time, that's only about 16 hours total. And any or all of it that you can make, that would be helpful to us. And I know that the church will be benefited by that. So that is happening, again, starting next Wednesday night. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday up until noon. Saturday, March 24th at 9 a.m. at Sister Angie Dole's residence, there is a ladies' fellowship. And then nobody really needs. Sister, my wife will need some volunteers. Do you have volunteers yet to help serve for that minister's meeting? Okay, she's spoken to you. If you'd be willing to help her, and set up decoration, preparing food. Trust me, she'll take all the help she can get. We do have a Section 10 ministers meeting here on Monday the 26th, and so we are hosting that and providing food and obviously our facility for that ministers meeting. And so if you would be willing to help her, please see her, and that'll go off well. I know that. I have complete confidence in all those that will be involved, and so we're looking forward to that as well. Other events, I don't have a lot of them down before me, but they're scrolling on the screen behind me. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Matt, you have a question? The 24th, Saturday the 24th at 9 a.m. Yes. Okay, so 5:15 leaving here on Friday night if you're going to the comedy thing. Okay, thank you. Sister Arlene? March 17th, that evening, we do have small groups. Did I not put that in? Is it in there? Okay, all right, just want to make sure it was in there. Yes, we do have small groups on that that night. Those of you that are involved, you have the handouts, you know what's happening. So that is happening a week from this coming Saturday. So a lot going on, and then obviously with the month of April kicks off with Easter on April 1st. And so just a lot happening in the month of April as well, and we'll apprise you of that as we near that. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you have a prayer request, Sister Angie, saw your hand. All right. Goodness. Certainly. Let's remember. Mark Damron, also Sister Pat Phillips. I'm sorry, say again. All right, certainly. We have Brother Sister Davis, not feeling well. Let's lift her up before the Lord, certainly. Brother Mike? All right. Remember him in prayer, certainly. Sister Rachel? All right, certainly. Sister Amanda? All right. Brother Bill? Yes. Okay, certainly. All right, why don't we stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you with the needs, cares, and concerns of this life. Lord, you're able. We trust you. God, we place it in your almighty hands, God. We thank you. Let us come before you in faith, believing, God, trusting in your power to work amidst, God, to do the impossible, God, for all things are possible with you. God, and we trust you, God. We thank you, God, that we can come with you in complete confidence and assurance, God, faith, believing, trusting you to work it out, our benefit, God, for we know that all things work together for the good. To them that love you and that are called according to your purpose, and let us have full faith and assurance in that reality going forward. God, we thank you, Jesus, Lord, for those who need a touch in their body, healing, God, you're able to raise up and restore to strengthen, God, for Brother Mark Amron, Sister Pat Phillips, God, we lift them up before you in prayer, believing and trusting in you to work and to move in them, God, whether it be a job situation, God, we know that we can depend upon you, that your will would be done in our lives, God, that we would follow you, God, in the way that you would lead us, God, we thank you, Jesus, we love you, we praise you, God, we honor you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your truth, God, for all that you are and all that you do. Jesus' precious name, why don't we applaud the Lord for his goodness? Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are going to launch out into a new series tonight. I'm not sure how long they go. They just go till I feel that they, you know, have run their course or whatever. But something that God has been kind of dealing with me for some time now, and I'm still searching and reading and studying and I'm trying to find more and more. And not that I ever doubt or have sought to invalidate anything that I've been taught or brought up through the years. But it's been kind of a searching as to understanding more and more
of God's truths and how the Bible is very much, and I know that we know this to be true in theory, if you will, or in part, but how very much the Bible is applicable to us today. How that even though it is something that has been written for, you know, hundreds of years before us, we can still take the truths of the Bible and apply them to our everyday lives. Especially in a society where we see, and it's no secret, a society that we see diverging away from the things of God, or even acknowledging the existence of God, or the need for God in our lives and in society. And so one of those areas, or one of the ways that I think sometimes we struggle with, is in relation to science. Because science, it almost seems like nowadays with the, modern science nowadays, almost has this atheistic agenda behind it. Almost where there is this desire to disprove, thank you very much, or invalidate the existence of God, or truths that we hold as believers to be true. And so I'm starting this study, and I've started reading this book. It's called Amazing Truths, and it's written by a doctor who is also he's a physicist. He's world renowned, but he's also a believer. And so he is bringing to light areas where science and the Bible are compatible, where you and I can see and look and have science help us explain why we believe what we believe. And so that's kind of why I wanted to launch out into this study. I've entitled it Faith, Reason, and Truth, the compatibility of science and the Bible. How can we take some things and look at science and compare it with the Bible and vice versa and still know that we're right? Okay? And even though the world would argue otherwise, even in this modern era that we live in that seeks to kind of disavow allegiance to God and the necessity of biblical principles and precepts, that we can take what we know, and even in this society, we can, and it's not that we have to defend it, it's not that we have to argue for it, it's the fact that we get to live it. I want to draw your attention to this passage of Scripture. It's one that I've probably referenced numerous times. It's found in Romans 1, 16 through 20. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath shown it unto them." Showed it unto them. In other words, it's observable. The things that we see, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, the things that we cannot see, are understood. They are seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. As believers, when we look at creation, we look at it from a different standpoint, or I should say what is created, we look at it as a different standpoint than a lot of the modern world. I heard a statistic that I don't remember what the exact number was, but it was somewhere in, it was talking about how that there is a growing number of professed Christians who are aligning themselves with the theory of evolution. And I thought to myself, that's not compatible. I don't understand that. And is it just because you don't have a good explanation that you're willing to compromise and you're willing to concede that maybe that theory is true? And while it is observable that there is theory with, or there is evolution within species, we know that that's observable. Some of what Darwin had to say was true. It's now proven. It's observable. But evolution from species to species, or primates and monkeys eventually becoming man, there's nothing that proves that. And so how do you and I in this modern world with all of these ideas and all of these philosophies, and how do we make science and the Bible compatible? How do we take passages like this that talk about creation explaining even his eternal power and Godhead? How do we, you need to understand, it's from a different standpoint. And this is kind of the launching point into this study. And I hope that you'll understand where I'm going. But let's look at a couple quotes. I love quotes. Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. This is a quote by Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein said, listen, religion without science, or science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. Now, here's another quote, and this is by Pope John Paul II. Faith and reason are like two wings on which the human, everybody say human. Faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth. And I read that, and on the surface, I said, you know what, he's got something there. But then I realized there's a word in there that says human. And what Pope John Paul II is saying, that in the human spirit, faith and reason are the wings. Faith and reason are the catalyst, if you will. They're the foundation from which the human spirit contemplates truth. I thought to myself, well, he's right when it comes to human reasoning. Because this is how human reasoning works, and I'll prove it to you. The process of human reasoning is this. The faith or the socialization, the belief system, the behavior, the lifestyle causes people to reason. They think, they contemplate, their worldview and their explanation and justification for why they live the way they live. Listen, when people who are biologically born a male say that they believe they were born female. Now, here's the thing. On the surface, we want to just discount that. On the surface, we want to say, well, that's not even possible for them to truly believe. But we need to understand the process of human reasoning. And the process of human reasoning is, whether they're socialized, or their beliefs, or their behavior, their lifestyle, it comes from reasoning. It comes from contemplating the worldview and what's happening in society and what's going on around about them. And so then truth is established to them. They believe it to be true. I was born this way. They actually believe that. It becomes to them a truth. Now think about this. But the truth is subjective. What is it subjective to? It's subjective to the reasoning that came by faith or what they believe to be true. And so now that truth is, it's relative. It's relative to their situation, or it's relative to their upbringing, or it's relative to the lifestyle that they had, or growing up, what they were exposed to. And so they reason and they contemplate, and it presents their world. And so they believe to be true that they were born that way. This is why the Bible says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Because listen, folks, human reasoning always goes this way. This is the path of human reasoning. And this leads us to subjective truth. It leads us to relative truth. Truth is just relative to what you think it is. Right and wrong is relative. It's abstract. It's not really definitive. You can't really say what is right, because what's right for you may be wrong for me, and what's wrong for me may be right for you, and vice versa. And so truth is subjective. It's up for discussion. It's based upon your opinion or your experience. That's what truth is. And that, please understand, this is what society is screaming right now. Truth is subjective. Truth is whatever you want it to be. There are no absolutes. Why? Because it's the process of human reason. And faith and reason are the wings with which the human spirit rises to contemplation of truth. Because of the way I was brought up, what happened in my life, I now reason that this is the way I'm supposed to live, and this is who I'm supposed to be. And so this has become my reality, and this has become my truth. And I am who I am. Look, this This is the process of spiritual reasoning. The process of spiritual reasoning begins with an absolute truth. I'm going to prove this to you in a little bit. This is why you must be born again, because the process reverses. We're now, this is a beautiful thing when we understand it. We're now, everything starts with a truth. Truth that is not relative. Truth that is not abstract. Truth that does not vary. There is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Truth that is an absolute. It is unconditional. It is not relative. It is objective. In other words, your opinion on it does nothing to it. It does not change it. It is completely and utterly objective. It doesn't matter what you think about it, and it doesn't matter what I think about it. Truth is objective, and it's absolute. So now I begin to reason on an absolute. Now my worldview is based upon a truth. Now my worldview and my explanation for why I live, justification for why I do what I do. Now my faith springs forth. I show you my faith by my work. So in other words, now this faith that just shall live by faith, that faith is founded upon a truth. And so now we see the process of spiritual reasoning. And I'll show this to you in relation to some of the modern science that we see. But let's go on a little further. Look at what the conversation between Pilate and Jesus. This is just a portion of it. John 18, 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now think about this in relation to spiritual reasoning. If I begin with truth, I heareth his voice. And as a result of his voice, I reason that this is the way that I should live. And so my faith then follows. And now it's based upon a truth. All right, my throat's getting dry, and it'd be remiss for me not to take a nice drink of this water. Pilate said unto him, Pilate says unto him, what is truth? What a question. What is truth? And I would dare say we have all, at some point in time in relation to something, maybe not verbally, but we've asked this question mentally. What's true? What is truth? What is absolute? What is unconditional? What is not relative to me or my circumstances or society? What is absolute? What is truth? How do we define truth? What is truth? Well, when we talk about truth, we need to understand that truth has to be absolute. Has to be. Has to be absolute. Must be objective. Right and wrong cannot be arbitrary. They must be constant. It can't change from situation to circumstance. It can't change based upon my upbringing. It can't change based upon how I was raised. It can't change based upon the circumstances of my life. It can't change based upon my gender. It can't change based upon my social status. It can't change based upon my demographic. Truth has to be an absolute. Right and wrong cannot be arbitrary. It has to be the same for everybody. It has to be constant. There is nothing or no one that is totally reliable to help us distinguish between right and wrong, then right and wrong cannot exist. Think about it. If there's nothing there that's reliable to distinguish between right and wrong, good and evil, then good and evil doesn't exist. Then right and wrong, and please understand, this is the spirit of the world right now. This is the spirit of the world that is trying to influence our way of thinking. This is coming from the intellectual society trying to sway our up-and-coming generations that truth is relative and it's not absolute. So right or wrong is dependent upon how you see it or your experiences. Why? Because if truth is relative, then nothing has any absolute meaning. Think about that. If there's no absolute truth, then everything is relative. And this is the mantra of modern day society. Everything's relative. Everything's up for discussion. Let me tell you, how do you govern a society when everything is relative? I tell you what you have. You have what happened in the Bible when every man did what was right in their own eyes. You know what happened after that? Judgment. Because people abandoned objective truth. And it was just whatever was right in my own eyes. Truth was relative to how I see it. Truth was relative to my experience. Truth was relative to what I thought. How I was raised, it caused me to reason and see a worldview a different way. And so I begin to explain the way I live and what I do based upon my own thoughts, my own reasonings, and my own upbringings. And therefore, I establish what truth is for me. And you go ahead and establish what truth is for you. And we're all right. All roads lead to one. It's called universalism. Do we not understand that this is the foundation, this is the beginning of things like one world government, one world religion? Do we not understand that this type of ideology that is sweeping into our society and is gaining momentum quite fast, this type of mentality is what we're warring against as Bible believers and people who believe in the Word of God as an objective, absolute truth that is the same for anybody despite their creed, despite their culture, despite their upbringing? It doesn't matter. None of those things compared to the understanding and the condition of truth. Let's talk about the Bible and science. If you think about it, each presents a strict, inflexible criterion, a Supreme Court that judges matters objectively. Science will judge a matter objectively. Why? Because there is a scientific method that has to happen in order for science, in order for there to be a proof. It's observable. These things happen. They are strict and they're inflexible. The law of gravity is the law of gravity. There are natural laws that you and I are every day of our lives. We are in conjunction, if you will, or connected to or experience all these laws that exist that science has proven to be an objective truth. If you climb to the top of a skyscraper, I don't care how much you believe that you won't hit the ground and splat. If you jump, and it doesn't matter your social status, it doesn't matter your race, it doesn't matter your ethnicity, it doesn't matter your upbringing, it doesn't matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter how much you believe otherwise. I don't care if you get up there singing, "I believe I can fly," and you believe it with everything in you. The law of gravity says if you jump from that skyscraper and there are no other forces that come to your aid, guess what? You will splat. Because science is an objective truth. It doesn't vary. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If you jump from that skyscraper, guess what? The end result for you is the same as the individual didn't have two pennies in his pocket. Because science presents objective truth. It is the way it is. And it doesn't matter what you or I think about it. Right and wrong are based upon physical or spiritual laws upheld by formidable evidence that stands through time. there. There's evidence that shows that to be true. There's evidence that reveal that. Laws that are not man-made, but rather originate beyond us. Laws like the laws, the nuclear and strong forces and the radioactive forces and all those things that all these people who are much smarter than I and then all these that have the degrees in astrophysics that say that there's 72 cosmological constants which must remain constant, because if any of them get out of whack at any point in time and change just by one degree, then the whole universe implodes. That's just by chance. Let's talk about science and objective truth. Science represents an extraordinary, ages-long collective effort to discover objective truth. Pythagoras theorized the cosmos, the first one to come up with the word to think about a universe. And guess what? Over time, he's found out he's right. Through time, that objective truth came to be a reality. There's a cosmos, there's a universe. Now we have telescopes. We can observe it. We can see this universe and it's expanding. We can see galaxies beyond and trillions of stars and all those things. But Pythagoras, he theorized that the cosmos, the universe. Aristotle founded the discipline of biology. He began to take plants and animals and begin to divide them based upon certain characteristics and certain traits. And Aristotle was the founder of modern day biology. Truths that we now can observe, and we can go down to the DNA and find that there is, in fact, similarities, and these species belong to these species. It's now observable. Objective truths. Euclid, pioneer in geometry, made the assertion that any triangle, on a flat plane, No matter how it is constructed, any triangle on a flat plane, its interior angles will always equal 180 degrees. Why? Because it's a line that is folded. Euclid made the statement. Now, modern geometry is based upon a lot of what Euclid put down as theories. Now they're observable. Nobody argues with that. Why? Because they can prove it. They can show it. They can look. And any triangle, no matter, as long as it's on a flat plane, and as long as it's a triangle, no matter how you construct it, its angles, its interior angles, will always, without fail, equal 180 degrees. Objective truth. Or Newton's laws of motion. An object that is in motion will remain in motion unless there is force exerted upon it or another source. Those laws of motion that Newton came up with that still exist today, that we recognize as observable truths. Science has observable truths. And they're objective. It doesn't matter how you and I think about it. The apple fell. Hit him in his head. As the story goes, it's objective. It's going to happen. An apple is never going to dislodge from a tree and float into the air. Not on its own. Because the law of gravity will cause that apple to fall. It's an objective truth. These are identical for everyone, regardless of who you are and or what you believe is true or not true. They're the same for everybody. They're identical for you and for me. It doesn't change. Stay with me because we're going someplace. Either the earth circles the sun or it doesn't. Either atoms exist or they don't. Either continents drift or they don't. It's objective. It's not based upon how you feel. It's observable. We can see. Now, I've never been in space. I haven't seen with my own eyes that the Earth revolves around the sun. But there are astronauts who have been up there. They've witnessed it. Read a book not long ago about an astronaut who named Scott Kelly. Longest, I think he's been 380-something days in space now. He's on the space station. He said that every 90 minutes they would view a sunrise because they were in orbit. And every 90 minutes they would see a sunrise. I wasn't there. I didn't see it, but he observed it. Observable. It's an objective truth. I could look at Scott Kelly, I was blue in the face, and that doesn't happen. But guess what? He's been there. He saw it. We can know these things to be true because they are observable. Okay, now let's get into that kind of precarious area. What about things that are not observable? What about things that science seeks to prove that can't be proven? What about things that science would like to give explanation for, but there's no way to go through the process of the scientific method to validate or invalidate? Things like the existence of God. Oh, stay with me. They can't. It's not provable. We believe. But I don't care. We could get a whole room of atheists together, and we don't have anything. Catch this. We don't have anything observable that can be proven by scientific method that God exists. And so they would say, can't prove it to me. I don't have to believe it. Let's think about it as far as the origin of the universe. Evolutionists use human reasoning to explain the unobservable and therefore unexplainable. They use theories. In other words, evolutionists use human reasoning. Remember this slide? Educated. They reason, they contemplate. Well, this is the behavior that people have, and they act like animals. They're not so far removed from their DNA. We find that they share a lot of DNA together. Some of their actions are animalistic. And they have some characteristics. They get in groups like animals get in groups, and they have hierarchy like animals have hierarchy, and they have all. So now that we believe that there's something there, and so we begin to reason, and we begin to, our worldview begins to found upon these things that are observable, and we see, and we can recognize. And so now we begin to reason that there has to be a truth to that. And so the truth that is established is a theorized truth. Well, there must be evolution. Oh, there's, you know, a single-celled organism that evolved for billions of years. And though it goes against other laws, like the law of thermodynamics, it is an observable, provable law. But for some reason, we can just discount that. And we can just say, why? Because it's human reasoning. Because of the process by which they get to the point where they can theorize that evolution took place. That's human reasoning. It's unobservable. None of us were there. It's really unexplainable. But now let's think about it this way. The origin of the universe for us, creationists, use spiritual reasoning to explain the unobservable and therefore unexplainable. Here's the difference. Here's how the process works for someone who is a believer. We believe that there is a truth. We believe that the Word of God is an unconditional truth. I can't prove it. I can't take you back there to when it happened. I can't take you through a scientific method that will make it observable for you. But I believe in an unconditional truth. And as a result, I reason that that's the reason why we have plants. And that's the reason why we have animals. And God said. That becomes my worldview. And that becomes the way I explain how that we have Romans 1:20. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Understand the process. But the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, we have spiritual reasoning. It's not human reasoning. We don't start at faith in our belief system and then end up in a subjective truth. We start with a truth. Let me show you. I'll prove it to you. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the what? The Word of God. It began with truth. And now we believe. We understand now, not because we can observe it, not because I can take you back and show you how it happened, not because I have scientific data that would validate, because there's scientific data on both sides. That's not what it's about. What I'm saying is this. There is an objective truth called the Word of God that I believe and I hold as the highest standard, and it transcends mankind and human reasoning, and it is the basis of my spiritual reasoning. And so I believe that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's my explanation. That's why I believe. That's where my faith comes from. It comes from truth. It's the process. But it starts with an objective truth. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. The Word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend the lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose, and it will defend itself. Here's the thing. Here's what I hope and I pray that people start to grasp. I could talk to them blue in the face, and I could try to prove to you, and I could try to tell you of my experiences and how following the Word of God and basing it as an objective truth in my life, that it's unconditional. It's not based upon how I feel. It's not based upon whether I think it's right or I think it's wrong. It is right, and I have to believe that as an objective truth, and I can get other people to say, well, maybe I'll try it. Maybe I'll live after the precepts and the principles of the Word of God, and then they find for themselves. I'm not big on apologetics. I'm not big on people trying to get up and defend the Bible. Listen, if people will apply the Bible to their life, it will defend itself. It will prove itself to be valid. If people will follow the Word of God and do what the Word of God says, you don't need me to validate it. It'll validate itself. It'll work in your life. I can talk to you till I'm blue in the face about how prayer works, but until you get on your face and you begin to pray and you begin to see God answer, objective truths. Objective truths have a power all of their own, and the evidence thereof exists, be it in the controlled experiments of science or in the dramatically rehabilitated lives of people. Can't observe God. The Bible tells me no man has seen God at any time, neither can he. But I can see his manifestation. I can see his declaration. I can see his work in the lives of people. Strung out, addicted. I can see his work in the lives of people who are lost and hopeless. And all of a sudden now they're dramatically rehabilitated. And I hold to that objective truth. There's evidence that I see that's all around me. Why deny what is blatantly obvious in the lives of other people where I've seen where they've started to follow the Word of God and it's changed them? Here's the thing about objective truth. Objective truth will hurt us if we don't believe and respect it. See, this is why our world doesn't want objective truth. Because if God is true and every man's a liar, and all my philosophies, and all my ideologies, and all my thinking, and all my perceptions and all my worldviews and all my circumstances and all those things, do not change it. And if it's right for you, it's right for me. And if it's wrong for you, it's wrong for me. This is the truth that people don't want to accept. This is the truth that people don't, well, I just can't believe that. Well, that's because you get to it by the process of human reasoning. There are things that you cannot understand. The Bible tells us that. The spirit of man cannot understand them. You cannot get there by human reason. The just shall live by faith. But faith is founded upon objective truth. Faith is founded upon something that I really can't explain. I really can't give you. I can't provide you in the sense of actually evidence of proof in this situation and say emphatically God does exist. But what I can do is give you evidence in my life that following His will and His way and doing what His word says, there's evidence that results. Here's the thing. Jesus was very plain. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, wait, that's strong. What are you saying? Jesus was a purveyor of objective truth. Not contingent upon anything. It's not conditional. It's absolute. What are you saying? Are you saying that the Bible is emphatic? Yes, I am. Are you saying that society and all its laws and all its ways of going about and trying to govern and try? Are you telling me that it's all subjective? Yes. That's what I'm telling you. Unless it is based upon the Word of God, that's why we're in the mess that we're in. Because we're not back to the book. We're not doing what we need to do. And the more I read about science, and the more I read about the brain, and the more I read about it, the more I understand that these are the fleshly tablets of the heart, the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere, the brain, that spiritual organ that exists in your mind, the more I'm coming to understand and believe you cannot legislate morality. It is only through the law of God. It is only in the understanding that this word is an objective truth. And it is what it takes to properly govern humanity. We cannot properly govern ourselves because all those laws, all those Supreme Court decisions are not made in the Supreme Court. They're made in the halls of human reasoning. They wonder why they have to keep going back and revising. Why? Because of the process. Because they won't start with an objective truth. Because it won't start. Because I tell you what, if we started with the objective truths of the Bible, issues like abortion would not be an issue. I know that's not popular nowadays. Everybody wants to skirt around the issue. We want to come to some conclusion based upon our human reasoning. Wait a second. When we do that, we are setting ourselves up for failure. We are setting ourselves up for ultimately the judgment of God. And objective truth will, if you do not believe it nor respect it, objective truth will hurt you. No, that's not popular. And I know that's not what people want to hear today. But it's evident. We see the evidence all around us. Society that does not respect and adhere to objective truth. Look. But objective truth will also vindicate us and set us free if we do. If we respect it and believe it, objective truth will vindicate us. Here's the thing. People say things like, oh man, you believe in stuff like a rapture? You're just going to one of these days. Whoosh. I do. I also believe that one of these days, an objective truth concerning the Word of God, then a moment in the twinkling of an eye will vindicate me. I don't know what's going to be left. I don't know if you'll see a pile of clothes. I don't know what's going to happen. What I do know is that there is coming a day. I can't prove it to you. I can only tell you that it is an objective truth from which I base my reason. And as for how I live in accordance with that understanding. Life is not about proving that objective truths exist. That's not always possible to do. Life is about believing that objective truths do just in fact exist. It's not about proving. It's about believing. The just shall live by faith. It's about believing that God is true and every man will be alive. It's about believing that the Word of God is right. It's not based upon, here's the thing, it's not based upon religion or doctrine or dogma or what this denomination says over this denomination. It's about what thus saith the Word of God. It is the absolute objective truth. And so like science and Christianity, I believe objective truths exist and I live accordingly. In closing, you can stand to your feet. So can we see things that are observable in science? Can we view things that science holds in such high regard? And can we find ways in which those things are compatible with what we believe? Yes, we most certainly can. Paul told us we could. We can see those things. It's not that we have to reverse engineer. It's not that we have to find something and try to make it fit. It's observable. It's there. He made it obvious. He said, so that they are without excuse. Here's the thing. Objective truth is such, and I know, I realize this is not popular, but objective truth is such that when I stand before Him in judgment, it will not matter. Here's the thing. Because objective truth is unconditional. It will not matter my upbringing. It will not matter. None of those things will come into the equation. It will be that I believe the objective truth exists. And did I live my life accordingly? Did I believe the words of Jesus when He said that those that did good would be resurrected unto good, and those that did evil would be resurrected unto the death? Do I believe that? Do I believe the Word of God is true? If I do, then I must live accordingly. Regardless of my situation, independent of how I've been brought up or the experiences that I've had, we will all stand before Him. And it will be objective truth that we will answer to. Lord Jesus, we love You. God, I thank You, Lord, that the more I research and study, the more I see Your hand at work, God, the more I understand, God. Lord, Your truth is there, God. The more I want to follow, the more I want to pattern my life after, God. The more I want to reveal into this world, God, how important it is to not only adhere, believe, respect it, God, but to apply it in my life as evidence, God, of Your objective truth working in me. Lord, I love You. I praise You. I thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your grace. For all that You are and all that You do. In Your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.